Yeah, look, it's just a daily video blog, so a couple of minutes. I've hired a couple of camera guys and just try and pump out 2 minutes of vaguely entertaining or, you know, commentary on business and shareholder activism. So trying to get audio and video from inside AGMs. And then just have a bit of a laugh, but it's serious in a sense that it's trying to raise shareholder activism.
Shareholder activism is the thing I'm going to do, and the video blog side of it, sort of the novelty, you know, gimmicky side of what is ultimately a serious message.
Yeah.
So dealing
that's
with suits.
I'm trying to cram sex in there.
Yeah, that's right. So if you can be a shareholder activist who's putting out videos on YouTube attacking Rupert Murdoch. It's a bit different.
Sure.
In that regard, you've been one out in the Gold Square for a long time, so you're hoping to, recruit people.
Well, I'm hoping to recruit people to go to AGMs and get stuck in, because I can tell it's bloody hard when you own shares in 445 companies like I do. You just get deluged, tiny shareholdings, I should say, $500. I'm the tallest and the smallest shareholder in all these companies. It's bloody hard, because there's 1,000 AGMs coming up in the next 6 weeks, Sammy. So if you fancy, on November the 8th, heading down to the Langham at Southgate, you can have a date with James Packer when he chairs the SEEK AGM.
You just keep up with the mail? Because they send the mail for everything.
I've had to hire a PA to deal with the literally the deluge. I mean, I get all these spectacularly small $1 and $2 checks from these multi-billion dollar companies, I'll tell you. So,
well, if we're looking for smooth links in AGMs, where are you going? You're heading out of the country soon, aren't you?
Look, I am. I'm really excited about this. Next Wednesday, I'm heading off to New York. I've got 4 nights there, and it's the Hudson Theatre on 44th Street at 10 o'clock on the 19th of October. We have the News Corporation annual meeting.
Is Rupert playing Broadway, is he?
Oh, yeah. He is. He's performing in the Hudson. I was there 2 years ago when he had his opening night at the Hudson, or his opening morning at the Hudson. There was 33 shareholders and me. So it wasn't a showstopper in terms of New Yorkers turning out to see Rupert perform. But look, it's great. I've put up a shareholder resolution this year, which is the first time I've ever done that, where I've normally in Australia only the companies and the directors put up resolutions to be voted on, because you can't do it in Australia because you need 100 signatures from shareholders to put up a resolution. In the land of the free, you can do it with just US $2,000 worth of shares. So I have US $2,001 worth of News Corp shares, and I put up a shareholder resolution which says that Rupert gets rid of his gerrymander, that he gives all shareholders the vote. Because few people realise that Rupert's running a system where 70% of the shares don't vote. And that's how he can control 15% of the company and 40% of the votes. So I always get up to the AGM and say, Rupert, you're running a gerrymander that would make Sir Joby Ockley-Peterson blush. You keep on trying to spread democracy to Iraq. You now own the Wall Street Journal, which is telling everyone else how to behave. Clean up your own act and give everyone the vote, and the share price will go up by 10%.
And that's genuinely well received by Rupert. How do you think this one's going to go next week?
How do you think you'll go?
Well, it's quite good, actually, because the whole board has put out this 500-word statement that they've sent to all shareholders rejecting my little resolution. So, you know, one little guy in a garage in Templestowe can actually make one of the world's most powerful boards have a meeting and come up with all these spurious arguments as to why the resolution shouldn't happen.
How much would it cost Rupert for your resolution to get up? How much of his own company would he have to buy to exercise the amount of control he'd like to exercise?
Oh, cripes. To get back to 40%, he'd have to spend another $15 billion. So it'd be expensive. But the thing is, I keep saying to Rupert, I'll make you $1 billion here, mate, because the share price will go up 10%, because the way it works is no one can buy News Corp at the moment, because Google or Microsoft, which would be the two obvious ones, they can't buy it because Rupert's got, he's got this poison pill, but the other thing is he's got this gerrymander where if you got 40% of the votes, Rupert's never going to sell. But if we go one vote, one value, and Rupert's down to 15%, then there's a takeover premium. So the share price would surge. So I keep saying, Rupert, no one's going to sack you, mate. I mean, you know, you're a legend. You've been there for 55 years. No one's going to sack you. We might have a bit of a say when it comes to appointing one of your sons as the CEO.
Mm.
I mean, that's the main game here. I mean, Rupert's 76. So he wants to hand over to his kids, and he wants to use this gerrymander to do that. And I sort of say, well, you know, you only own 15% of the company. Who are you to, you know, you've got $60 billion of outside capital in there. We want more representation. We want votes.
Stephen, unlike you, Rupert's not all about money.
Well, he's a power, doesn't
exactly.
he?
Yeah, he's a power freak. He's a control freak. I mean, the other amazing thing about Rupert is that, do you realise that he's up for election this year for the first time in decades? That under Australian law, if you are the CEO of a company, you don't have to face election every 3 years like everybody else. But if you're the executive chairman, which is what Rupert was, you are meant to face election. So James Packer, Kerry Stokes, Jerry Harvey, all these famous executive chairs put themselves up for election every 3 years. Rupert and the cowboy from Guns, John Gay, were the only two Australian executive chairs who enjoyed the exemption, who said, no, I'm the CEO, I don't have to face election. But I just say, Rupert, you're also the chairman, mate. Oh, no, but CEOs don't have to be elected. So I asked him 2 years ago, I said, when were you last elected, Rupert? I don't know. You don't have to be in Australia, he says. So now he's gone to America, and he's waited 3 years, which is the longest possible time. So finally, after unspecified decades, Rupert is up for election.
He's a good chance, isn't he?
I reckon when you've got 40% of the votes, even though you've only got 15% of the stock, you know, he might get over the line.
Yeah.
What else has taken your eye?
I saw in your report yesterday, it was delivered from the All Nations Hotel, is it, down in Richmond?
Yeah, in Lennox Street, Richmond there. I was in the dining room of the All Nations having a beer at 10 o'clock. I tell you, it was bloody early for a beer. But that was the dining room where Dick Pratt and the Amcor bloke, Russell Jones, carved out their cartel. So I sort of popped down there with my video guys and said, you know, I'm now sitting in the dining room of the All Nations Hotel having a beer. This is where the most notorious cartel was carved out in 2001, which is what happened. So, and Dick Pratt's a great excuse. I just love this line. His statement that went out 2 days ago, I quote you, he says, quote, I have accepted responsibility for comments made by me to the then Amcor CEO Russell Jones when he invited me to lunch. In other words, nothing to do with me.
No.
This bloke invites me to lunch and I've said, oh, okay, Russell, we'll carve up the $1.5 billion box market. I'll have the pepper steak, thanks, mate. And he's done his deal at the All Nations and it lasted for 4 years and they all made tens of millions of dollars of extra profits out of it.
Has he got a view on the $40 million fine?
Look, people are saying it's a record fine, it's terrific, it's great. But, if you're worth $5.6 billion, and you've made literally many, many tens of millions of dollars of extra profit from this cartel for 4 years, I actually think it's a bit short.
Yeah.
And he should cop a bigger fine than that. Because, I mean, they've toughened up the laws. You're meant to pay, these are the criteria, you're meant to pay three times the amount you've made. Now, he's made a lot more than $12 million by doing this, so he hasn't come at that level. 10% of turnover. Now, the box packaging business of Visi turns over about $800 million, so that'll be an $80 million fine. Or $10 million per offence. Now, I mean, there's multiple offences here. This is a massive cartel going on for 4 years. So I think you could have argued for 50, 60, 70 mil quite comfortably. But, of course, it's a commercial settlement. It's a deal. They've agreed to it. And Graham Samuel was just determined to get his record. And the previous record was 35 mil, so I think we're going to see 35 million and one. And Graham Samuel's going to be able to say, you know, biggest ever, you know, toughest ever, etc. And Pratt can cop that, but not a dollar more. And whereas, you know, probably 100 mil would have been more appropriate.
This is a sort of matter where the public don't get very excited because they don't really see the impact on themselves. What the Amcor and Visi, they're basically the only two players, aren't they? So the problem is that they're not competing against each other rather than that they're blocking out a third competitor, is that
right? Well, yeah, the Smorgans used to be the other party, the third player, and they had a vicious price war in the 1980s, and then the Smorgans got out and became a duopoly with Pratt and Amcor. And the deal they did was that they wouldn't sell for less than $1,150 a tonne. So, you know, Dick and Russell Jones got together and said $11.50 a tonne is the price. You can have the grog companies. We'll have the fast food companies. You can have Ingham's. We'll have Nestle. And they carved it up like that. And Dick Pratt's whole defence was that we didn't honour the deal because we kept on undercutting their price and we lifted our market share from 46% to 55% over the course of the cartel. So his defence was basically there's no honour amongst thieves, is we've even ripped off our cartel partner. And whilst that's an interesting argument, he still did, you know, there's all these taped telephone conversations of meetings in dodgy three-star suburban hotels where prepaid SIM cards, where they all say, yeah, yeah, it's working well and stick with the deal this time, you've undercut us on that one, hang on, make up for it over here. So it was an elaborate clandestine cartel that ripped off, you know, big multinationals like Cadbury's, which are now suing Amcor for $120 million, Nestle, Foster's, Lion Nathan, and these companies are going to be out for serious revenge, and they're going to sue, or they're going to get very attractive new pricing deals, which is probably what will happen.
Traditionally, Stephen stays for the news.
Sure.
Can you do that?
Oh, I'd love to stay for the news.
We might try and squeeze in some news, Stephen.
Coming up at the Northcote Social Club.
Just a little bit over for time this morning, so it means we'll get into the news just a little bit earlier. And Stephen Mayne's sticking around. It's going to be 24 today.
Keep the frequency clear.
All right.